Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
Good afternoon and welcome to Africa Link. I'm Eunice Njiro in Bonn, Germany.
And I'm Oli Tangen Jr. with What's Trending on Social Media.
In today's program, we'll hear of the clash between police and militia allied to a tribal king in Western Uganda.
Anything called a royal guard camp is unacceptable. We fine you, we have no time for you, because these are not royal guards, these are terrorists.
The French Conservative Party chooses François Fillon as its candidate for the presidential election next year.
He wants to be seen as a problem solver and knowingly puts forward highly controversial propositions, like letting go of 500,000 civil servants.
And from social media, we will be featuring reactions from Uganda related to the ongoing clashes. But first, let's find out what's been happening around the world.
I'm Mark Caldwell with the DW News. The OECD, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, has said that infrastructure spending of the kind promised by US President-elect Donald Trump could boost global economic growth. OECD Chief Angel Gurria.
If policymakers can avoid the pitfalls of protectionism and seize the opportunity for collective fiscal action offered by still very low interest rates, combined with high priority structural reforms, then the global economy can at last escape from the low growth trap.
Former French Prime Minister François Fillon has won the right-wing nomination for next year's presidential election with a resounding victory over his rival Alain Juppé. The 62-year-old is on his way to being a favourite to become France's next president, but is expected to face tough competition from far-right leader Marine Le Pen in the two-round election in April and May. Police in the Philippine capital of Manila have defused a bomb found close to the United States Embassy. The authorities believe that militants loyal to the Islamic State group carried out the attempted attack. The mortar bomb, with a mobile phone detonator, was dropped in a rubbish bin about 200 metres from the embassy. The device was found by a street sweeper who alerted the authorities. This news comes to you from DW in Bonn, Germany. On a visit to Greece, the European Union's Commissioner for Migration, Dimitris Avramopoulos, urged fellow EU member states on Monday to send more experts to the country to support the evaluation of applications for asylum. Tensions at overcrowded migrant camps in Greece have been escalating. The commissioner also said the migration agreement between Turkey and the EU should continue.
The crisis we're all confronted with is far away from being over soon.
Zimbabwe has issued its own currency for the first time since 2009 to try to ease shortages of the US dollar. Banks started issuing the new currency called bond notes on Monday. Police in Uganda say they have taken control of a tribal king's palace after a weekend of deadly clashes with his supporters. A police spokesman said at least 46 members of King Charles Wesley Mumbere's guards died fighting police and soldiers in western Uganda. 16 police officers were also killed. The police accused Mumbere's supporters of trying to create a new state near the border with the Democratic Republic of Congo. Germany's highest court has rejected an appeal by a man who was given a four-year jail term last year for his role in the murder of 300,000 people at the Auschwitz Nazi death camp. 95-year-old Oskar Gröning, known as the bookkeeper of Auschwitz, was convicted of aiding and abetting the murders. For more news and information, please visit our website dw.com. I'm Mark Caldwell.
You're listening to Africa Link. The Uganda police is still holding a tribal leader from Western Uganda whose supporters have been accused of trying to create a new state. Charles Wesley Mumbere is the king of the Rwenzururu Kingdom in Kasese, where the Uganda Armed Forces have been fighting a tribal militia. At least 62 people have been killed as security forces fought with the insurgents. Alex Jeter has more.
The Ugandan government found itself in a public relations nightmare after pictures of bodies piled up on the streets of Kasese town were leaked on social media. Other pictures show naked women lined up, and these are believed to be occupants of Wesley Mumbele's palace, which was allegedly torched by security forces. A Ugandan journalist, Doreen Bira, was arrested on Sunday for taking and posting pictures of the burning palace. The Ugandan Defense Forces and the police attacked Mumbele's palace in operation meant to eliminate what the government believes to be terrorists. Around 40 people who were holed up inside the Royal Guard camps, which the army says are illegal, were killed. Several officers also died in the fighting. Brigadier Peter Ereru, who commanded the division that attacked the palace, says the operation will continue until they flush out the last insurgent.
Anything called a Royal Guard camp is unacceptable. We fine you, we have no time for you, because these are not Royal Guards, these are terrorists.
Wesley Mumbele has announced before that his kingdom does not want to be part of Uganda anymore. He has intentions of creating his own country known as the Yira Republic. The Royal Guards had raised their own flags in areas where they had pitched camps, which led the security personnel to believe that the king was behind them. If confirmed, Mumbele will be charged with treason, an offense which carries a maximum sentence of death penalty. Unrest in Kasese is nothing new, but the latest escalation has forced many to flee their homes. This resident tells me the presence of the army has not helped the situation.
Citizens are scared because the camp that was up was threatening them, and when they saw the heavy deployment of UPDF, people had to flee from their homes and scattered in several places.
President Yoweri Museveni has been performing poorly in elections in areas considered to be opposition strongholds. Opposition leaders believe that this could be one of the reasons for the government's use of extreme force.
Alex Jita in Kampala, Uganda.
After reports of the deaths surfaced, Ugandans took to social media using the hashtag Kasese Clashes. Jimmy Chibero said that, as often happens in conflict situations, the first victim is the truth. Seems Kasese clashes are no different. Let's put Uganda lives first. The opposition FDC political party's official Twitter account wrote that we need a public inquiry into the Kasese clashes, and we can't depend on the state side alone, for it can't be trusted. And finally, Jared Aminga wrote that African leaders are pulling out of the ICC so that they cannot be held accountable for their crimes. Hashtag Kasese clashes.
Well, Ole, there seems to be a lot of strong opinions out there on this topic.
Yes, and we will be discussing another hashtag related to these clashes, Free Joy Doreen, later on in the program.
Thanks, Ole. The French Conservative Party has chosen François Fillon as its candidate for the presidential election next year. The 62-year-old lawyer brings decades of political experience, and yet his nomination came as a surprise to many. So who is the man who took the center stage of French politics overnight? Here's Malte Rover-Kalman with the answer.
From 2007 to 2012, François Fillon served as prime minister under then-president Nicolas Sarkozy. The former president was one of the competitors Fillon eliminated in the first round of the primaries last week. Fillon, a car racing fan, also triumphed over his rival Alain Juppé in the second round with his message of change. Addressing his supporters after his victory, Fillon promised a reboot of French politics.
I've fully taken the seriousness of the situation and the expectations of our fellow citizens. I will now go to meet them throughout the coming month. With them, I will take up an eccentric challenge for France, the challenge of truth and a complete change of software.
Changement complet de logiciel.
Fillon is a devout Catholic, and many of his views on socio-political issues are deeply conservative. He, for example, takes a clear stand against abortion and gay marriage. Economically, Fillon, an admirer of former British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher, is deemed a neoliberal hardliner, planning to cut public spending by 100 billion euros. Such a radical approach is unusual in France, says political analyst Dominic Grillmeier.
He wants to be seen as a problem solver and knowingly puts forward highly controversial propositions, like letting go of 500,000 civil servants or scrapping the 35 hours of work per week. These are sacred cows in France, and suddenly they are up for debate. That's brave.
In Frankreich, die plötzlich jetzt zur Debatte stehen bei Ihnen, das ist mutig.
Fillon also wants to take a tougher stance on Muslims living in France. He, for instance, demands tighter controls of mosques and a migration cap. These positions are likely to lead him into a battle with far-right candidate Marine Le Pen, who tries to appeal to disillusioned voters with populist nationalism. France goes to the polls on April 23rd next year to decide the next leader.
Malte Rover Kalman. Zimbabweans woke up to the new currency called bond notes, a day that has been coined Black Monday by civic groups who are protesting against the introduction of the surrogate currency. Many fear the return of the Zimbabwean dollar, which lost value and hit inflation figures. Privilege Mushaniru reports from Harare.
Banks were, as of Monday morning, giving bond notes in denominations of $2 and $5. In some banks, clients were getting a split of 50 US dollars and 50 bond notes for a $100 withdrawal. A few people who I spoke to were still confused about how the bond notes will work. The majority feels the bond currency has been imposed on citizens without proper consultation and sensitization. Retail shops have also shown little interest to the bond currency, with some still preferring the US dollar. On Saturday, the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe said bond notes will be deposited directly into US dollar accounts, where they will reflect as dollar balances. The central bank has issued out 10 million worth of bond notes that authorities hope will ease cash shortages, but skeptics fear the measure could erase savings less than a decade after recording the highest inflation in modern day. Introduction of the notes has fueled large protests against President Robert Mugabe and led to suggestions they could cause the downfall of the 92-year-old leader.
Privilege Mushaniri reporting. So, Ole, you mentioned this hashtag coming out of Uganda, hashtag Free Joy Doreen. What is this about?
Yeah, that's right. Joy Doreen, who they're referring to, is a Ugandan TV reporter who was detained by police after a TV news segment she produced, which covered the clashes, was broadcast. And many Ugandans are not happy with this development, especially fellow journalists. Noted Ugandan journalist Rosebel Kagumire wrote that, "We said journalism is not a crime. Citizens have a right to report on what's going on in Kasese." And Bahati Remy, a fellow TV reporter in Uganda, wrote that, "If you don't want pictures of ugly scenes captured and shared, don't create them. Don't shift your anger to the media. Free Joy Doreen." And Kenyan blogger Larry Mado wrote that, "I've reported from Uganda twice this year, and I didn't realize I could have been arrested for doing my job. This is just unacceptable. Free Joy Doreen."
So Joy Doreen is still in custody, right?
Well, some of the reports are a bit foggy. We are getting some reports that she has been taken to her uncle's house so they could find some evidence, whether or not they will find anything. But as far as the last reports I saw prior to coming to the studio, is that indeed Joy Doreen is still in police custody. And the hashtag, therefore, is still trending, and it seems to be getting stronger and being spread more as the minutes pass.
Well, let's hope that things go settle down in Uganda as of today. So you're listening to Africa Link here on DW. We'll be right back. This is Africa Link. Coming up in the next 15 minutes here on Africa Link, there is no end in sight for striking teachers and lawyers in English-speaking regions of Cameroon, despite mediation efforts by the country's prime minister.
We are not going to work as open up the channel for dialogue with government in complement to what the parliamentarians made.
Lawyers and teachers in minority English-speaking regions of Cameroon have rejected calls to end an indefinite strike. The lawyers and teachers supported by disgruntled youths have been engaged in running battles with security forces as they protest what they call the overbearing influence of the Francophone system in the country. Cameroon has English and French as official languages. Moki Kinzeka reports from the northwest region of Bamenda, where several people have died as a result of the protests.
The strike action by lawyers and teachers from the English-speaking regions of Cameroon has sent shockwaves across the nation. Following the violent protests which began last Monday, President Paul Biya dispatched Prime Minister Philemon Yang to negotiate. But after 72 hours of discussions, Wilfred Tassang, Executive Secretary of the Cameroon Teachers Trade Union, says the government did not show a willingness to compromise in finding a solution.
A new institutional framework to look into the problems raised by Anglophone teacher trade unions will be put in place by Wednesday, 30th November 2016. That this framework will meet and work in Bamenda for the convenience of the majority of the members. That when at least one other request is fulfilled on or before the 30th of November 2016, the strike shall be suspended.
Barrister Harmony Bobga, spokesperson for the striking lawyers, also told me they did not agree with the Prime Minister.
We are not going to work as open up the channel for dialogue with government in complement to what the parliamentarians made. He has even insisted that we should approach our Minister of Justice. But since the Minister of Justice is under him, we are hoping that he will be able to deconstruct the wall the minister has built so that we can have an across-the-board dialogue for the interests of this country.
French Cameroon gained independence in January 1, 1960. The following year, on October 1, British Cameroon also gained independence. The two regions united to form what is now the Federal Republic of Cameroon. Both English and French were adopted as the official languages. English-speaking Cameroonians constitute 20% of the 22 million population. Cameroon's government spokesperson, Issa Chiruma, has warned the protesters against any sort of calls to divide the country along language lines.
Les exigences formulées.
Any demands that affect our livelihoods, the way we live together, or in any way that undermines the core values of our nation will not be accepted.
Since the protest started a week ago, most schools in the English-speaking regions have remained closed. Kedza Rufina, head teacher of Mile 3 Government Primary School, says only 10% of their pupils have been coming to school.
Most of our kids have not come today. We don't know why they did not come. We hear other kids of other schools have not gone because they told them not to.
This is not the first time that English-speaking Cameroonians are having grievances with what they call the overbearing influence of the French language in the Central African nation. The teachers complained that the country's English subsystem of education is being eroded in favor of the French subsystem. English-speaking Cameroonians question why, after nearly 60 years after independence, no English-speaking person has been nominated to be Minister of Defense, Finance, Minister of Territorial Administration, and many other influential positions.
Moki Kinzeka reporting.
Health check.
African countries are now facing a double burden of diseases because of overnutrition. Oftentimes, when you talk about problems to do with nutrition, what comes to mind is malnutrition or undernutrition, in other words. But have you ever heard of overnutrition and its effects? In this report, Malawian correspondent Miriam Kaliza explores the magnitude of the problem in that country.
While some people associate malnutrition with weight loss, for instance, there is another part to it, which many are not aware of. This is overnutrition. According to nutrition expert from Lilongwe University of Agriculture and Natural Resources, Bunda Campus, Zone Kalumigiza, overnutrition is when the body is getting nutrients that are above the required quantities.
Other consequences are the common chronic diseases that we hear about nowadays. We hear of such problems such as hypertension, diabetes. These are claiming the lives of many people nowadays, and overweight and obesity happens to be one of the risks.
While people from all areas in Malawi can be affected by overnutrition, statistics indicate that the urban dwellers and the highly educated people are mostly affected. Experts say this group of people prefers to drive most of the time, do little exercise, and eat junk foods, which seem to be trending and taken as high-class lifestyle. Coordinator for non-communicable diseases at one of the referral hospitals in Malawi, Kamusu Central Hospital, Daniel Kanyemba, says cases of diseases as a result of overnutrition keeps on skyrocketing at the facility. He adds that the hospital attends to over 50 patients per day with either hypertension or diabetes.
Apart from giving them the medication, we also tell them to change their lifestyles. Mostly we tell them to do exercises. We also tell them to have a kind of food which they're supposed to take.
Silveria Shibeni, also a biological teacher at a secondary school, suggests that there's need for a deliberate measure to teach young children about eating patterns if things are to change.
I think people here in Malawi, they think that when they have a baby and then the baby becomes like maybe 9 kg when the child is, she's only 3 months, they think they have the healthy child. She's 3 months, she weighs 9 kg, that's over for her. But we're supposed maybe to give food according to their age.
Experts advise that people need to change their lifestyles by, among other things, eating food that are prepared at home rather than opting for junk foods. They also encourage regular exercises like walking and sporting activities. A demographic survey carried out in the year 2000 in Malawi revealed that the prevalence of overweight among women between the ages of 15 to 49 stood at 9%. As of 2010, the figures had reached 13.8%.
Miriam Kaliza. Let's now head to sports. We are joined by Chuck Penfold from our sports desk. Chuck, RB Leipzig are still top of the Bundesliga. This must come as a surprise to many fans, right?
Yeah, RB Leipzig are definitely the surprise of the season so far. I was talking with some of my colleagues from the sports desk over lunch today. Most of us had expected Leipzig to have a pretty solid first year in the Bundesliga. A couple of us expected them to finish maybe mid-table. Another guy said he thought they would even challenge for Europe if all went well. But certainly none of us expected Leipzig to be first 12 weeks into the season. However, we should remember there's a lot of games still to be played this season.
Bayern Munich's defender Jerome Boateng and his boss Rummenigge seem to have big differences. Could you tell us more about this?
Yeah, well, basically, Karl-Heinz Rummenigge, who's the chairman of Bayern Munich, had a bit of a go at Boateng after Bayern's loss to Rostov in Russia last Wednesday. That was seen as an embarrassment for the club. Boateng didn't look good in this one. Among other things, he conceded the penalty. So Rummenigge told the mass circulation newspaper Bild that Boateng had to get his mind back on football instead of his extracurricular activities. Now, he's a highly present person on the social media. He's also collaborated with rapper Jay-Z in the U.S. In fact, Jay-Z apparently is his manager. He's also got his own line of glasses. Now, Boateng conceded he hadn't played well in Russia, but said it was because he was not 100% fit and that it had nothing to do with any PR appointment or any other off-field activity. He also criticized Rummenigge for going through the media instead of speaking to him about it in person.
Still on Bayern Munich, they had their annual general meeting on Friday where Uli Hoeneß was elected president. After having spent some time in prison for tax evasion, what's your take on that?
Well, yeah, Uli Hoeneß certainly is back as president of Bayern after being elected with more than 97% of the votes at that AGM on Friday. This came after he, of course, served about half of his 3.5-year prison term for evading almost 30 million euros in taxes. He was released in February, and his return came as no surprise after Karl Höpfner agreed back in August not to run for another term as president. The only question on Friday was really how many votes Hoeneß would get, because he was the only only candidate, and he received a pretty overwhelming endorsement from the 7,000 or so who voted.
Okay, let's now move away from football. I hear that there was an exciting finish at the Formula One Championship. So what really happened?
Yeah, well, that was the last Formula One race of the season in Abu Dhabi, which left Germany's Nico Rosberg as champion, driver's champion for the first time. Even though he finished second in the race to Lewis Hamilton, it was an interesting race. Some now are accusing Hamilton, the Briton, of playing dirty with his Mercedes teammate. Hamilton led from start to finish and used this advantage to deliberately slow down the race, apparently in the hopes that this would allow other drivers who were behind Rosberg, who was in second, to pass the German and knock him off the podium. That might have allowed Hamilton to win the drivers' championship. The Mercedes team even ordered him via radio during the race to pick up the pace, but Hamilton ignored this, and it's now not clear whether he will face any sanction from his Mercedes team over this.
Chuck Penfold from our sports desk. So, Ole, there was a lot of discussion on social media over the weekend in reaction to the death of Fidel Castro. What have Africans been saying about this?
Well, as you know, Eunice, the former Cuban leader was very active on the continent in his day, and many Africans say that he inspired some on the continent to rise up against their colonial powers. One of Africa's most active Twitter users, for example, Rwandan President Paul Kagame. He reacted to Castro's death by saying, "R.I.P. Fidel Castro, a tenacious fighter who lived a full liberation life, and condolences to the resilient people of Cuba." And on to neighboring Burundi, President Pierre Nkurunziza also had praise for the late revolutionary, saying that, "Today I extend my deepest condolences to the president and people of Cuba following Fidel Castro's demise. I salute a great leader in him." And Dr. Dlamini Zuma, the chairperson of the African Union Commission, said that Commandant Fidel Castro was a true revolutionist who assisted in the liberation, socio-economic development of Africa and the developing world.
Seems like he had a lot of fans in Africa. Well, have you gotten any responses on our Facebook page?
Yes, we have. And just as a short reminder to anyone out there, if you do want to have your own opinion added to our program, you can go to our brand new Facebook page at facebook.com/dw.africa. And one of those comments we got about Fidel Castro came from Kagombora Barango from Tanzania, who said that Fidel Castro fought for equality and human dignity in his work in the fruits of African decolonization and extermination of the few white barbaric regimes. And from Nigeria, Isaac Ehoza Godwin said that he thinks a legend has fallen. Although his communist revolution and imperialism were distasteful, he added that we are all humans and we all make mistakes. Rest in peace, dictator. So as you can see, there was mostly praise for the former Cuban leader Fidel Castro coming out of Africa.
Oh, that's great. And thanks to all our listeners. Thanks to all our people following us on Facebook. We ask every one of you to just go to our Facebook page. That's DW Africa, and leave your comments there so that we can be able to discuss further here on Africa Link.
Harare, Nairobi, or Abuja, Africa Link's correspondents bring Africa's stories to you.
So these are the stories that we have been following for you on this edition of Africa Link. Ugandan police stormed the palace of a tribal king and arrested him following fierce clashes that killed at least 62 people. The French Conservative Party has chosen 62-year-old François Fillon as its candidate for the presidential election next year. And in Cameroon, unrest in minority English-speaking regions over discrimination by majority French speakers is still simmering. Remember, you can find more stories about Africa on our website. That's dw.com/Africa. From me, Eunice Wanjiro.
And from me, Ole Tangen Jr.
It's bye for now.